listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, 6 o'clock on the East Coast, drive time, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. It's the day after Hard Knocks. How big is Hard Knocks? That's the way we announce the show. It's the day after the Gruden show. What did we learn? Is there money to be made? Well, we got the pros who know. Brad Powers. Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start in the NFL, and we start with Hard Knocks, Episode 2, featuring the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders last night. And it was all about John Gruden. What was the Vegas takeaway of your soon-to-be, I guess, neighbors, we can call them there, the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, soon-to-be the team in Vegas, baby, the Outlaws. And I think it's hard to imagine a better team for Vegas. Fez, we have kind of a roundtable email before the show. What's your thoughts? Tell us what you're thinking. Now, let's be candid. I'm archiving your thoughts for future blackmail. But you had one today, I thought, about Hard Knocks that a lot of the country probably agrees with.
Yeah, Gruden was not just engaged. He was extremely engaged. So hands-on, so exuberating. All this energy, it was tremendous, I thought.
Listen, if you exuberate energy, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. Now, here's the question. As a person who's, yeah, you enjoy being entertained, but you're trying to gather edges. You're gathering information. Like a your eyes move like a computer, like Data on Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a little disconcerting. It's just you. Would you agree?
Yes.
I will admit, I had a girlfriend before my wife who was very intelligent, spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley. You know, it was a learning experience for me. But there'd be times when I would ask her a question and she'd be kind of, you know, silent. And I'd kind of look at her like, you know, it's time to answer. And she literally would say, computing. Now, I don't know if it was ironic or not, but it was over multiple years. So I, you know, if it was a bit, she stuck to it. But Fez, I could see you saying that. In fact, you're kind of thinking, boy, that would make things easier.
You can see just my eyes kind of rolling along and it's like, is this the right answer? Should I say it?
So now you're telling us what we're perceiving in your eyes. But how do you know that?
I don't.
But somehow that's what you said. Computing. Okay. So as you're computing with Hard Knocks, you're thinking, I would think, oh, wow, Raiders might be better than I thought.
Yes.
Well, I mean, because if the head coach is doing everything right.
Yeah, and I hate head coaches that just kind of stare out into space and aren't engaged with their players, and obviously Gruden
so
is
you
the
like,
opposite.
You like what Gruden's doing, and thus the result of that, the conclusion would be
that I'm more bullish on the Raiders.
More optimistic, more bullish. Now, here's the question. What is Gruden best at? I think Gruden's best at performance. You think Gruden knows what a discerning NFL fan might want to see? So in a weird way, Fezzik's bought in.
Yeah.
Right? Now, again, he's a discerning fellow. So the question becomes, is this about the truth of Gruden? Which, if it were, this engagement, this intensity, it would lead to optimism about the Raiders. I think rightfully so. Or is this performance? Is this performance from Gruden as a great performer.
And I, you know, last night when they were featuring, it seemed like it was all about John Gruden. And it, I think it goes to the point that we've been making here on the show. And RJ, you've talked about this, that that's really why he was brought there. I mean, the guy's a star. They centered the entire episode around Gruden. They didn't really feature much anybody else. And I think it's just another example of there was more to the John Gruden hire than just wins and losses.
So wait a minute, Jonas. The way you're presenting our prescient, one-of-a-kind, first-in-the-country prediction about the truth of the Gruden hire is, hey, you kind of talked about this amongst others. I'm going to give you another chance to present the truth.
So you sort of talked about this amongst some others. I was teeing you guys up. I want you to take all the credit.
But Jonas, you're like the manager, right? When the champion comes out, if he's saying how great he is, it's not as good as Fred Blassie saying it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like somebody wrapping the belt around you as opposed to you doing the Aaron Rodgers discount double check. It just more, it has more of an impact when you guys flaunt it. Me wrapping the belt around
except
you.
Except I do more than enough of that. Yeah. Brad, I'm going to let you jump in and do Jonas's job here.
So last year, almost a full year ago, we said, hey, there's something a little bit more to the Gruden hire than what's leading on to 10 years, $100 million. And the thought process was it's all about getting to Vegas. And what better guy to do that than the highest paid guy at ESPN as far as Monday Night Football, a guy that understands the media, can get the crowds excited, can get Steve Fezzik, a professional, better to buy in into what they're doing. It was all about getting the Raiders from Oakland to Vegas, and Gruden's passing that test.
Much better, Brad Powers. Very accurate. Jonas, not as much.
That's all right.
I'm RJ Bell. And I think the key is when we said getting to Vegas, it's a financial matter. By all accounts, and this is, again, maybe the shortest man on an NBA team kind of thing, but the poorest owner, family, the Davises, by all accounts, the least cash rich owners. But once the Raiders get to Vegas, the money problems are over. We talked about it. Just the naming rights on the stadium, $25 million a year. Now, I don't know what the Raiders are getting now for the naming rights. I'm guessing not very much, if anything. So Gruden, an average NFL coach, what, $5 million a year?
Yep.
Gruden, double that. But what's the delta? What's the difference? $5 million? Okay. Literally, you can have five Grudens, meaning having five head coaches extra that you're overpaying by $5 million, and just say, oh, yeah, use the money from the naming rights. That's how much money is sitting here waiting in Vegas for the Raiders to unlock. It's almost like a video game. You get here and you do, you know, it's a journey, it's a quest, but you do these seven things, it unlocks the billions, literally the billions. Well, what could have stopped it? It could have been some type of drama in which, oh, this Raiders team's not doing right by Oakland. It could have been, oh my gosh, this team is so bad. I mean, I guess there's two things about the bridge to Vegas. Number one is getting here. The disaster would have been some confluence of events that would have led to the Raiders not being allowed to come to Vegas. And by having Gruden suck up all the air in the conversation about the Raiders, no one's really talking so much about should they leave, because they're talking about what's happening today.
Yep.
So that distraction serves a purpose of increasing the chance of something or decreasing the chance of something getting in the way of the Vegas move. And also, it's coming to Vegas undamaged. Because if the choice was stay in Oakland or come to Vegas damaged, you still come to Vegas damaged. When I say damaged, I mean the Raiders, the brand. But coming to Vegas undamaged, pristine, is even more valuable. Initially, the season tickets, contracts with radio, with TV, all that stuff. And to me, the star power, we've talked about the Houston Texans. I've done local Houston radio for 5, 6, 7 years. And I don't think they've been happy about the Texans 1 week in all that time. And they've made the playoffs multiple times in the last, 5 years. I think it's three times, right?
Yeah.
And how excited is the city about the Texans? They're not.
Not a lot of billboards with Bill O'Brien on them.
Or anybody on them, right? And with the Raiders and Fez, you touched on it. The fact that here in Vegas, there's a billboard of Gruden, not of, you know, it's more about Gruden. It's another way to superficially pay for excitement. And if you're only paying $5 million for that excitement, that's a rounding error once you get here. It's an accounting rounding error, $5 million. If they had to pay Gruden $30 million a year, he'd probably be worth it for what he's accomplishing. And I would say that literally even if they go 4-12 this year. Because one of the things I noticed was Gruden's being rah-rah in front of the team, but he's being honest or at least discerning, critical in other shots. So, Fez, you had another takeaway, which was one of the things you liked is here's a coach that seems to understand his team's limitations.
Yeah, he's well aware that the Raiders are not supposed to have a good year, and he even shared it with his team. He's like, guys, the experts are all saying that you're a last-place team in the division. I mean, he's sharing that as a motivator. I like that.
Yeah, so on one hand, he's rah-rah for the team, in front of the team. On the other hand, when he's talking to the boy genius,
yep,
he's saying what?
Hey, we got a lot of work to do with this team.
So what could be the gut takeaways? Would it be as simple to say, man, that Gruden's charismatic. And boy, he really is the kind of guy that wants to get his team excited, but he's really honest behind the scenes. Is it, I mean, that's a Cliff Note 3 bullet points, but could you imagine 3 better bullet points coming out of this? Because what does having a lot of work to do imply? You better give me a lot of time. And if somehow, some way we're 4-12, it's part of the process.
Yep.
And remember, Hanky, the Sixers, in hindsight, it's become a meme. It's become a joke in a way. The fact that that trust the process was so viral, that was so successful, actually ended up being its downfall. If it would have been 30% less successful, it would have kept Hanky his job, because the question becomes, when is that person worth judging, or when is it fair to judge them? And the best thing an employee could ever do is create an environment where you keep paying him and you don't really judge him for as long as possible. Imagine if Fox Sports Radio said, RJ, we're going to give you a 10-year contract, but you have an out after every year, but we're locked in for 10 years. That'd be ideal. My theory is if I do well, great. But if not, hey, I've got 10 years to prove it. Well, contracts like that don't happen. But this is a PR game. And what the Raiders are doing here, what Gruden is doing, is excusing any on-field performance that would tamp down, that would somehow dampen the excitement about the Raiders coming to Vegas. So it increases the chance, all the Gruden show, of them getting here, and it keeps the excitement high, both that he's distracting from on the field and he's exciting as a leader, helping season tickets, helping sponsorships, et cetera. I think it's brilliant, and you can say it's Gruden. Maybe Gruden doesn't even understand what he's doing. He's just a showman. But someone understood this. This wasn't a fluke. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Jonas and then Brad.
I was going to ask you guys this, because you get a lot of events that come into Vegas, whether it's fights, UFC, boxing, concerts, the Vegas Golden Knights, the NHL team. Where do the Raiders and the buzz for the Raiders coming to Vegas stack up since you've been there and in Vegas, RJ?
Yeah, this is one. I've been in Vegas 21 years. This is one that I disagree with Colin on. So Colin's saying, hey, this is really good that Gruden's getting all this attention, because in Vegas, man, there's a ton of competition. You've got the hockey team. I think the embrace of the Golden Knights, which has exceeded any reasonable expectations, is a sign of this town, Vegas, craving community. This is a very transient town. People come and go. Back when I moved here in 98, it was a situation where a big percentage of the town came and went in any given couple years. But now, as the city's grown and grown and pretty much doubled in size to 2 million, matters if you count North Vegas, Henderson, whatever, Summerlin, but about 2 million is now the percent. Even if you have 50,000 coming and going in a given month, it's such a smaller percentage of the overall city. And because of that, this city was waiting for community. It wrapped its arms around the TARC in UNLV. I mean, to this day, the TARC is a sacred name. Those UNLV teams are sacred. It's 25 years ago, right? Or
yeah, almost 30
years
yeah.
ago. So 91, not yeah. So to me, the Golden Knights isn't a sign of big competition for the Raiders. It's a sign of it's like if someone has this half alcohol beer and they're chugging it, and you come out, Jonas, with your special brew that's like illegal to sell on the street, but it's got a little extra. I mean, are they going to say, oh, no, I like this watered down crap, but I don't want the really good stuff? Or is that a sign that they want the really good stuff? I think Vegas wants the really good stuff, and that's NFL. I don't care what team it is. And obviously with Gruden and the Raiders, I think it's even more exciting. Now, when we come back, Fezzik has already bet on the Raiders game this weekend. We're going to find out, is he on them or against them? And Brad Powers disagrees with Fezzik about the takeaways from Hard Knocks.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we will tell you how you can make money by betting on those Hard Knocks Oakland Raiders.
Or against them. We're going to find out from Fez. Thanks for joining us. We try to bring a little touch of Vegas to you each day. Right now on the Strip, it's a touch you would not want. It would be sweaty. 100. In 8 degrees, the neon is crackling.
So, RJ, we've been talking about episode 2 of Hard Knocks on HBO featuring the Oakland Raiders and our biggest takeaways after seeing episode 2 last night.
Yeah, Fez, we're going to talk about the line on the Raiders here in a few minutes. But you had a strong take, and I think incorrect, I should say, earlier, which was, oh, my gosh, Gruden's saying all the right things. Now, again, you're the weirdest combination of cynical and naive.
Yeah, normally you'd expect one or the other, right?
Yeah. You're cynical about anything you're capable to be cynical of, but your ignorance of things make you naive.
Agreed.
I was waiting for him to say computing.
Computing. And I think that Fez, in a way... And let's be candid. This is one of the sharpest minds in handicapping. In my opinion, it's the most unique mind. And I'm not sure there's a most unique, because by definition, unique means one of a kind. So that's always a misused word, which I just somehow perpetrated. You know, another misused word is misnomer. Misnomer means a word that's used incorrectly. It's not a misperception. But this is a big circle. This is the kind of thing Fez would do. He has a unique mind. And to me, part of it is your brilliance. And, you know, you graduate. Listen, Northwestern to me is the most overrated school in the country. I've met a lot of people from Northwestern that I thought literally were below average intelligence. I mean, literally, like 48th percentile if they're lucky. But they're talking about, I got a degree from Northwestern. I mean, it's, whew. But.
Small sample.
Yes, it's true. But with you, I think, obviously bright. A vice president in a big, big company as an actuarial scientist when you were in your mid-30s. But here's the thing about being so smart. It's hard to see that other people are smart, too. So Fezzik spends his whole life trying to fool people. He's always playing. You know, there's that famous Hawthorne quote from the Scarlet Letter. And the paraphrase, you can only show a mask, a false face to the world and have that true face that you understand for so long. If you try to lie to the world, and Jonas, you should listen to this. If you try to lie to the world for too long, either you become what you're trying to portray, or, and that's not a good thing because it's not your true nature, or you start to portray what you really are. And that's not a good thing because you obviously had a reason not to portray it to start with. So, Fez, you are perpetually got a mask on. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
But in a way, him saying that he agrees with it means he doesn't really have a mask. That's the level he's working at. And you just, I have found, especially before you met me, I found that you've always been, let's say, pessimistic about others' intelligence. So in a weird way, he's like, no comment. In a weird way, he doesn't think anyone else is smart enough to play the game he's playing. Thus, he sees Gruden and thinks, well, that must be genuine. Look at him. He's saying he must mean it. Gruden couldn't be as smart as me and portraying one face and actually having another. Brad, you disagree.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the show's all about gathering those edges and gathering the information like you, RJ, said in the first break. Before the first break, but to me, we're just not getting the details like we were last year. We're not inside the coaching meeting rooms like we were with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley a year ago. We're not inside the GM's office like we were with John Dorsey. I'm not getting much out of this.
It's not a dorky enough show for you.
No.
It's too much Hollywood.
Too much Hollywood right now for me.
Now, that's a good segue. That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. To my next point, which is, if the show is Hollywood, what is the point of a TV show? To have people watch it. And in 2019, in the modern era, it's different. It's not just the Nielsen ratings. It's the ratings, especially for a subscription service like HBO. It's how many shows do you have that are must watches? I can't give up HBO because I got to see that. Right, which is different than like a 3.5 Men type sitcom that might get a lot of viewers, but most people aren't that passionate about it, right? And that's really the difference, I think, in modern distribution of content, where the niche offerings, the passionate niche offerings are more valuable. The stuff that the Johnny Carson level stuff, the thing about Carson was everyone liked him. Most people didn't love him, but everybody liked him. Today, there's 5 talk shows trying for the same audience, and the theory is, you're going to have to love a guy before you watch him. Because even if you kind of like it, you're going to watch the YouTube clips. And part of HBO is passion for Hard Knocks would make people subscribe. But also, how viral is it? How many of these 40-second clips are there that people are going to say, oh, HBO, oh, Hard Knocks? And to me, what was the most discussed, what was the most Hollywood topic this week in the NFL?
Antonio Brown.
And his feet.
Yep.
This isn't fetish. This is just his feet are burnt off or frozen off. It seems like opposite to me. And was it me or was there a conspicuously absence of Brown discussion? I know we had the quick clip with his feet, but my thought would have been half the show would have been about that. Did we get any comments from the Raiders, other Raiders players saying, hey, maybe and just the way he is, where you can tell he's a little critical? Where was that?
Very few. I mean, Derek Carr.
Few or any.
Well, Derek Carr just, I didn't know it. I didn't see the Instagram post.
Which is by definition not implying that I can't say anything good about this, but I won't say anything at all. My mommy told me that, and I'm going to do it in this one case.
Yep.
So somehow, some way, the story, Antonio Brown and his feet, wasn't featured. But as we discussed right here in Straight Out of Vegas, it's hard to find a sports fan that's really going to think Antonio Brown and his feet and his helmet and all the shenanigans is a good thing. I think we were 100% down, thumbs down on Brown. In fact, you called him the clown Brown, Brad Powers.
Yep, I did.
The best receiver of the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Little 5'5 Brad Powers says he's a clown. So the fact is that was what we wanted to see. That's what would have went viral. But for some reason, it wasn't presented. And it just begs the question, who had final cut? In a movie, that's a debate. Remember in Entourage, Billy West wanted final cut? who has final cut? And I get it. In media, and this is one of the things I'm most critical of, sometimes access requires compromise. Yes, you can hang out with Brady and his supermodel wife, but I tell you this, it better be a sympathetic piece or you're never coming by again. So what do? You try to make it as sympathetic as possible to keep Brady happy and as honest as possible. The minute a writer, a minute an editor has an agenda other than the truth, you're not getting as much truth. And whenever a TV producer, editor has an agenda other than ratings, well, boy, that is noteworthy because I don't think that's ever the case. And you got to wonder, how did the Raiders pull this off? Is this just HBO saying, hey, we want these teams to embrace us? And if generally we're more sympathetic, if it looks more like it's a promotional video, now maybe the Patriots let us in. Maybe the Steelers. I mean, think about the teams you'd really want to see. You've never seen the Steelers, right?
Nope.
Never seen the Patriots?
Nope.
Right? So whatever chance, wherever that line is where the teams say no, and then there's that group that below that line are no's, they're hoping maybe, HBO, that a sympathetic presentation of the Raiders increases the chance of a yes from one of those teams they really want. Or was it negotiated beforehand? I don't know, but it seems like a mighty important question. Speaking of a question, in just 1 minute, Fezzik is going to tell you who we bet in this weekend's Raiders game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have a best bet, your chance to make a little bit of money on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, we're going to have an early bet here on the Raiders game. Fez is ready bet. Let's recap Hard Knocks last night. Fezzik looked at it and said, wow, Gruden's saying all the right things. I like it. The question is, and I raised it, is this a performer performing? Jonas said, hey, I don't know if it's true or not, but this guy is a star. He gets the attention. I agree 100%. We also went back in time to why we thought Gruden was hired, which was to distract till the Raiders got to Vegas, because that's when the big money starts. Brad made a great point. If you're a wonk, if you're a nerd, you want to hear about press coverage, the star power of Gruden is overshadowing what we saw last year, which was a lot of X's and O's on whiteboards, which Brad prefers. And finally, the question is, Antonio Brown, obviously one of the big stories of the week, not really getting a lot of attention. Now, was that HBO's decision to ingratiate themselves to the NFL teams? Was it negotiated to get Gruden? Doesn't seem like anyone's even asking the question. I am. Let's get some answers. Now, Fez, it's money time. I'm RJ Bell. He's Steve Fezzik, straight out of Vegas. Arizona is hosting the Raiders. What's the line?
Arizona's laying 3.
All right, so home team, typically 3 in the NFL, even the preseason. It's saying these are even teams. Now, that, my first thought, is crazy. Why? We spent a lot of last week talking about how much the Raiders and the history of Gruden lends us to believe that the Raiders will overperform in the preseason. Why? Because there's nothing which is more predictive of preseason action, results, winning and losing against the spread, than how that coach has done historically. It's not an organizational issue. It's a coaching mentality. It's a mindset. And here's the amazing stat. There's been, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Fez, 4 coaches that are active right now that have 5 or more wins, extra wins in their career. So if you go 27 and 20, you've got 5 or more extra preseason wins. There's 4 of those. There's 2 that has 5 or less, where they're like 2 or 20 and 27. So there's 4 good coaches, 2 bad coaches, and so far they've played 6 coaches, 7 games. And against the spread, if you would have just went with the history, whatever the arrow said based on history, what's your record?
7-0, RJ.
Now, listen, it's not going to keep up like that. But the question becomes, what's the over-under if all you did was play those six coaches blind? Fez is now, what are you, 4 minutes into trying to find that sheet of paper? I mean, it's... You know what we should do is we should have, if we just, we got to start Facebook Live in this.
Yeah.
So we could direct people right now to see Fez trying to find something from yesterday. Oh, he's got it. There you go. You know, we're done with the topic though. Now here's the interesting thing. I asked Fez, what's the over under for those six coaches moving forward? And he said, you know, I think it's under 55%. So we've got a bet. Now, I get those six with their arrows, so there's going to be 18 games, 6 times 3, and if it's 55% or above, I win. Less than 55, you win. How are you feeling about that bet?
Not so good, RJ.
All right, that's what tends to happen.
When we make bets,
minute that someone bets me, they all of a sudden don't like the bet. I guess I'll take that as a compliment. Now, except Jonas, who's sitting there, he says, I don't care what the number is. When I got a feeling, baby, I don't go. My gut leads the way, baby. So here's the question. The Raiders last week, because of Gruden's history, and he's on that list, and quite frankly, we predicted if there's any time that preseason wins are going to be more meaningful, more beneficial, it's going to be for the Raiders this preseason. Why? The whole concept of bridging to Vegas.
Exactly.
Let's get some people excited about this team. It can mitigate potentially losses in the regular season. That sounds crazy, but this is all gut impression. It's all narrative. So now you got a guy, Gruden, historically who tried harder in the preseason, enough to be on that list of the four coaches that win. Now you got extra motivation to win. And lo and behold, the Raiders were a historically big favorite in week one. Brad, break down how big of a favorite they were.
So the Raiders were about a 5.5-point favorite at some point last week over the Rams. That was the largest week one preseason favorite in 8 years, RJ.
All right, so a lot of games.
Yep.
8 week ones, 16 games a week. Think about it. All right, it's 120-plus games, biggest favorite. So that's assuming the market is saying the Raiders – are as good as any team, if not better, in the preseason due to motivation, whatever. But now Arizona is 3 hosting the Raiders. This is basic stuff. 3 for the home team means these teams are even. The 3 points is the home field advantage. So now is the only thing this could mean is Arizona is right up there with the Raiders as one of the best preseason teams.
Yeah, and I don't think you can make that case. You don't have any history with Kingsbury, 1 preseason game. And if you look at just the quarterback rotations, I like the Raiders' backups. I like Glennon. I like Peterman. So I think the Raiders...
What you're saying is fundamentally, if you just handicap beyond motivation, if you handicap how good is this preseason team, which is different than a regular season
right.
team. It's a lot about how deep they are, how good the backup is. And then you add in, does this coach historically feel motivated in the preseason or not? And is there a reason this week a coach is going to be extra motivated? Like a team that would start 0-1, the odds of them wanting to win game 2 goes up because they don't want to necessarily be 0-2 going into game 3.
Exactly. But both these teams won last week.
So there's no extra motivation for Arizona. We don't have any history with Kingsbury on in the preseason other than the 1 game, which they covered, but it wasn't even an impressive cover.
No, Arizona was laying 3. They covered by 1 point, and they were fortunate. They got outplayed, basically, by the Chargers in that game.
Thus, there's 2 conclusions. 1, there was something in that Raiders cover that made people question it, which I think should be the opposite. They were -2 in turnovers, as you pointed out.
Yeah, the Raiders outgained the Rams by 200-plus yards.
And one of those interceptions was in the end zone, so it prevented the Raiders from scoring more points.
And when you're -2 in turnovers, it's hard to cover. And they cover easily. Or they saw something in Arizona that was amazing, which I don't think was the case. Or the Raiders' action last week was more anti-Rams. And what I've noticed is the Rams not playing their starters. You know, the difference between 1 or 2 possessions versus none really isn't all that different. But it's just the narrative now. oh, McVay's a different coach. He's not even going to play him a minute. And I think that caused a lot of anti-Ram sentiment.
And tons of money against the Rams this week. There's been a five-point line move against them this coming week against the Cowboys.
Who are like a bad preseason team. Jason Garrett's one of those coaches that's bad.
So what we're saying is all of our theories that made sense to me, that's why I said them, about why to bet the Raiders isn't why the Raiders were such a big favorite last week. It was anti-Rams money. But now if we believe in our Raiders rationale that they are a team to play on because of Gruden's history, because they're extra motivated with the scrutiny of Hard Knocks, you would want to bet the Raiders. Fez, what have you done?
I bet the Raiders.
All right. So right now they're +3.
Right.
And you still think it's a good bet.
I do.
I kind of agree. But it was 4 earlier. So you always got to be careful when you take a bad line or a lesser line. When we come back, we're going to talk about Ty Lue. A lot of people taking bows. I think they were wrong. Also, a free pick on tonight's game.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So we've got Major League Baseball on ESPN. First pitch less than 10 minutes from now. It is the Cubs at the Phillies. And right now, the Phillies are a slight favorite. Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, and I like the Phillies. You know, I made a small bet on the Phillies, -115. Let me explain why it's a small bet. There's a lot of uncertainty in this game. And I'm going to watch this game closely and look to learn from this game. And having that bet, and I'm vested in the interest, it's going to make me pay more attention in the game.
And that's an important concept. There's often a debate. Do you bet the same amount on every game or do you vary your bets? To me, a middle ground is you've got no bet, you've got what I call a TV bet, and then you've got a best bet. Now, what's a TV bet? It's a game, and let's be honest, there's some fun involved in having money on a TV game. But for a professional, it does give them a chance to be engaged with the game more. You think you're positive EV. You think it's a profitable bet, but not as profitable. But your profit comes in another way, which is the knowledge you gain from watching the game with more engagement. Plus, you're watching the game and you might find some in-game betting opportunities. So give us the handicap.
So the handicap, I know I want to bet against the Cubs when they're on the road in general, RJ. The Cubs, for whatever reason, have been horrible on the road. 23-36 straight up. This is a Cubs team that wins almost two-thirds of their games in Wrigley. Get them away from Wrigley this year. They've been horrible. Okay, so I want to look to bet against the Cubs. The problem is the Phillies have not been playing well. But just last night, the Phillies fired their hitting instructor, so they replaced him. And oftentimes, when you fire a head coach or a key coach on a team, that team suddenly becomes more engaged, more motivated. So because of that, I'm on the Phillies, and I will watch the Phillies' energy very carefully tonight, along with my bet on the Phillies -115.
That's a professional presentation right there from Fez. And keep in mind, guys, is when Fezzik said, oh, I don't know why, but they're not good on the road. You ideally want to know why, but sometimes the numbers get big enough that even if you don't understand it, you can't ignore it.
RJ, to the NBA we go, where several reports out there have the Clippers closing in on hiring Ty Lue as the top assistant to Doc Rivers and the LA Clippers.
Now listen, to some degree, I get the trolling element of this. Oh, wait a minute. Lakers, you did wrong by Ty. Now he's going to come on and help us beat you. Okay. But doesn't this completely validate the Lakers? Meaning, imagine if someone said, I'm negotiating to be the starting quarterback for NFL team XYZ, and they want me to have a 3-year deal, and I want a 5-year deal. Wait a minute. You're not giving me 5 years? F you. I'm out of here. Mustard and ketchup. I'm out. Well, okay. If you go get another starting job and you get a 5-year contract, you win. But if you sign as a backup quarterback, doesn't that prove the team that didn't want to give you 5 years was right? If anything, the Lakers were willing to give Lue more than any other team, and this signing proves it. Thus, the Lakers not willing to give more than that was smart.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.